Burned Potatoes by Dorothy D. Cress. Knowing I had only a one-hour lunch break, I hurried home thinking about the remaining details of today's school activities. I was almost out of breath when I pushed the kitchen door open and dark blue smoke hit my face. I could hardly see the window on the opposite side of the room. In front of the white stove stood my mother, staring at the round frying pan where the blackened potatoes turned into biting smoke. "What are you doing?" I shouted, turning off the gas stove, rushing to the window and opening it all the way.
"I'm sorry," my mother mumbled.
"What? What do you mean?" I snarled, tossing the worst of the burned potatoes into the trash can and the rest of them onto our plates. My mother still stood by the stove, hunched over, shoulders rounded. She looked like a student, puzzled by a teacher's question. Her arms hung motionless beside her colorful apron, her right hand holding a wooden spoon. Tears rolled down her wrinkled cheeks, forming wet streaks on her chin.
"Oh, Mama,"
I groaned and embraced her. A gentle whiff of her spring flower perfume filled my nostrils. I closed my eyes for a moment. Holding her tight comforted me and calmed me down. At the same time, I was shocked to feel her small body. When did she become so fragile? Why hadn't I noticed? Through the stillness, the baa, baa of sheep grazing outside brought me back to reality in my small kitchen, now filled with warm summer air. I inhaled the aroma of fresh hay coming through the open window. When I opened my eyes, I looked at the wide green meadows stretching from our gray wooden garden fence to the horizon. "Everything is fine," I told myself. "I'm just stressed after a long year of teaching. Tomorrow will be my last day of summer camp, followed by 4 weeks of vacation and more time for my family." Just as she did every year, my mother had come for a couple of weeks to help me out with my heavy workload. Being a mother myself with two small children, I was busy with a full-time teaching job and supporting my entrepreneur husband in his new business. I also helped refurbishing our big, more than 100-year-old house, surrounded by a large property with gardens and meadows. I was often overwhelmed by my responsibilities. Every time Mama arrived, life was manageable again. Besides her support in my household, I valued her wisdom. She knew peaceful solutions to many of our problems that sometimes seemed unsolvable. Her calmness was soothing to our hectic lives. "It feels good still being useful to my family," she had said often. It was a great balance between her visits twice a year for several weeks and her permanent life as a retiree in Halberstadt, a small town in East Germany where I grew up. Her city life offered the culture she longed for. Theaters, libraries, concerts, and lifelong friends. It was in sharp contrast to our country life in a remote mountain area, a 6-hour train ride away, where doors were not locked at night and children could play outside until bedtime. My mother loved our home in the Ore Mountains, surrounded by rolling hills and farmland. It reminded her of her upbringing in a small Bavarian village. Still holding Mama in my arms, I realized it had been too much work for her. She never complained, and I had been too busy to notice it.
"I'm so sorry, Mama. There was really no excuse for being angry with you. Just a few burned potatoes. What's the big deal, anyway? Look, there is still enough to eat for the two of us."
I pointed at our plates, guided her to the chair, and helped her onto the seat. I sat down next to her and stroked her veined, toil-worn hands, resting motionless on the kitchen table. Her forehead wrinkled. She shook her head and repeated slowly,
But the weirdest thing is, I saw everything happening. The burning of the potatoes, the smoke. I just didn't know what to do. She stared at her plate as if she could find the answer there. I forced myself to smile, but a chill went down my back. What had happened to my mother between this morning when I left for work and now, only 4 hours later? While we ate quietly, pictures appeared in my mind's eye, as if I were flipping through our family album. Mama, as a 6-year-old child, riding high on a horse-drawn wagon filled with grain in front of the farmhouse. As best student of her class, mother with books in English, German, and French. Her driver's license from 1927. Papa hugging Mama in front of their paint shop in the city center. Pregnant Mama, collecting bricks in 1945 next to our bombed, damaged house in Halberstadt. I took a deep breath and looked at my silent mother sitting beside me. She was stuffing potatoes into her mouth like a child who had been ordered to eat. I felt helpless, not knowing what to say. My thoughts drifted back to our album, my favorite book when I was little.
The photos caused my imagination to spin, drawing pictures of a happy family, a complete family, with a father, a life that I didn't know. The first picture of me appeared almost at the end of the album. My skinny mother in dark clothes, in 1946, widowed, holding me as a baby. The last two photographs were my favorite. New Year's Eve, Mama balancing a shiny wine glass in one hand, smiling, a funny little paper hat topping her curly brown hair. And on the last page, Mama with sparkling eyes, sitting in her living room, surrounded by many of her beloved books. My daydreaming ended when I checked the ornate hands of my kitchen clock. The lunch break was almost over. Cleaning my plate, I said to my mother with a warm smile, "I have to go back to the summer camp now, but I will see you around 4 this afternoon at coffee time." "Sure," my mother replied, her voice calm. "I'll read the newspaper before I have my midday nap. Don't you worry, I'm fine." She patted my cheeks and hugged me before I left. Concentrating on my work schedule was difficult this afternoon. When I returned home, my mother looked relaxed. Her coffee was as hot and strong as always. We sat in the living room and chatted about my work at camp. I breathed a sigh of relief. "By the way," Mama said, "I tried to remember how old Wolfgang is, but couldn't figure it out." I felt the same chill on my back, but pretended to laugh. "As far as I know, my brother was born in 1936. "From 36 till 40 is 4, she counted, holding 4 of her fingers up in the air. "From 1940 to 1980 is 40. "What did I say first? Let me try again." She looked at me with fear in her eyes. "You know what? I just can't count anymore." I refilled her cup. Mother seldom needed paper to calculate any math task, did it all in her head. I had always admired her special ability that I lacked. "I guess we all get older, Mama," I said, and avoided her confused gaze. Early the next morning, we took her to Dr. Haynes. He explained there was nothing we could do. It was the way our gentle mother was aging. Her days of helping us were finally over. It was our turn to spoil her. A powerful stroke hit my mother's delicate body 3 months later. I sat by her bedside, holding her hands, talking to her quietly, touching her forehead and lips with a wet cloth, kissing her cheeks gently. She could neither see nor speak to me anymore, but I knew she felt my soft touch on her pale skin. Mama died 3 days later.